I'm Heather Cabot, and this is The New Chardonnay, a podcast about enterprise and reinvention in life and in work. This episode, a conversation with Michael Klein, CEO of God's Greenery. We chatted in June, a few weeks before the launch of the company's new line of Christian-focused CBD products, to find out just how this former entertainment exec found himself on a new journey, fueled by faith in more ways than one.
$41 million Americans who identify as Christian. They're contributing $2 trillion to the economy every year. 77% of that audience are looking for brands that share their worldview in some way. And 84% of them will make a change to a brand that is closer to their worldview.
With Martha Stewart's new gourmet CBD gummies and tinctures hitting the U.S. market, signaling another leap for cannabis culture into the mainstream, a look at the booming CBD business through the lens of Christianity.
So just to get started, I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and how you got into the industry.
Sure. My background is actually from the entertainment and digital world. Prior to joining the company, I was the head of original content at MTV. And before that, years of running originals at Sundance TV, Travel Channel, TLC, et cetera. I was also part of a team that created a new division within Condé Nast called Condé Nast Entertainment, home of Vogue, Vanity Fair, GQ, et cetera. And Condé Nast Entertainment was designed to take the brilliant storytelling and IP from the printed page of the Condé Nast magazines to other platforms, feature film, television, digital content. So while I was there, I built a new digital ecosystem of original content targeting, at that time, 18 to 34-year-olds, which was a whole new audience for that had left television and certainly were not in print magazine, but they were in digital environments. So we created great experiences for them and really went from a very, very small, almost zero digital footprint to something that today drives well over a billion video views per month for the company.
Wow.
So all of that, you know, a hit television series or digital content that's connecting, it's all about discovering an underserved audience and creating that great experience for them. And, you know, they're rewarding you with engagement and viewership. So enter cannabis and the world of you know, CBD and the cultural conversation that was occurring around this. And that's what really attracted me to this. But was there an opportunity to find some clear lanes within this new world, you know, this new vertical that's been created that I could participate in?
But the thing is, faith and coming at it from a Christian point of view is not, it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? I think it's kind of, it's not what you would expect. And I have to say, as far as my experience has been covering this space, nothing is what you expect. Has that been your experience? Nothing, any preconception that you had about what the cannabis industry is, to me, is completely the opposite in terms of the people you meet, the way the industry is run, the kinds of consumers that are interested in it. So was that your experience too?
Yeah, 100%. And I had to go through my own process of determining, would this make sense for me? How does this fit into my personal narrative, quite frankly, within my career history? And I spent a lot of time with my personal board of directors talking about it. And, you know, my relationship with cannabis was really from family members who were in palliative care. You know, my father a few years ago called me and said, I'm considering, he called it marijuana, to match pain. He was on a, you know, a buffet of different medications for various ailments. And I said, I think that's a great idea. He lived in Canada. And he went to his doctor and got a script, but from there, then what? You know, and so as a caregiver from afar, I would go online, but I couldn't find anything that was truly an authority voice that I could trust. It was like TripAdvisor. You had no idea where any of this content was coming from. So it always struck me that, is there an opportunity there? And you know, that we can actually build an authority voice. But that being said, what I find so interesting is that here you have something that has emerged in culture, and it's not being driven by one particular demographic. You know, if it was millennials that were driving, you know, a digital video revolution, that's one thing. But this touches every demographic and different need states. You know, my mother, you know, who has a CBD cream that she uses on a sore knee that allows her to continue to golf at 82, you know, every year, to my niece who's a dancer who uses CBD as part of her recovery from performances. So different need states and different audiences, and that's what I found so attractive.
I guess that you are specifically hitting a niche, at least based on what I'm seeing from God's Greenery and your website. You're hitting the faith community, which is sort of an interesting, it's an unexpected space, I would think, for sort of the general public. Don't necessarily know that. I mean, it's just sort of emerging, right, in terms of various people of faith getting behind CBD, and I'm sure some of it sort of came from, you know, people like Charlotte Figge and you know, stories that we've seen in the media where the therapeutic benefits specifically of CBD, you know, have, and the approval of Epidiolex, for example, by the FDA, you know, that has sort of validated it, and people are sort of looking at it, I guess, from the lens that you were just talking about, you know, in terms of from a very personal point of view, and people looking for natural remedies. So can you talk about that and the intersection between sort of cannabis emerging and CBD emerging from the shadows, and how that relates to what you're seeing across the faith community?
Sure. Well, God's Greenery was born from the fact that we discovered this online chatter amongst Christians who had discovered CBD that and were introducing it into their wellness routine, either for themselves or a family member, and having success with it. What was missing was a platform where Christians could learn more, share stories, and have, you know, content presented to a faith lens. And that was the beginning. Through 2019, as we were building the platform, and I met with Christians of influence, because I don't really like the word influencer, and to hear their stories, they're very emotionally driven, as you said. In general, audiences around CBD are driven by emotion because they're looking for relief from a particular ailment for themselves, for a loved one. And so to discover this, that it is a natural product, we know, you know, broadly speaking, consumer interest around natural products and wellness is continuing to grow, even more so with current conditions. And at the same time, there was that question of, is this provocative? Is this too provocative for the audience? And when we launched, you know, knowing that, you know, you want to make sure your messaging is clear, that it's authentic, and that we were prepared if people were going to come to us and say, you know, this is wrong. In fact, we got none of that. It really became I love CBD. It was really surprising. Like, wow, like this audience is absolutely here for this.
Politically, the timing was really good, right? Because CBD is now available in so many places, and it's sort of been, for people who might have been confused about how to even access it or nervous about, is this legal? The Farm Bill really brought it out into the open and made it okay.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Look, it's amazing. Think about if we were having this conversation 18 months ago to where we are today. And you have that first wave, but yes, so CBD has now been socialized. It's available broadly, from my bodega down the street to my big box. Terrific. We're now in the situation where CBD is available, but what do I buy? And the clutter and confusion in the marketplace for consumers, where you have companies that are, you know, basically marketing based on potency or process, neither of which many people understand. And that's where we saw the opportunity with God's Greenery, where we built this community. They want to learn more. Their follow-up question was constantly, so what do I buy? So we've developed our own formulations of natural botanical products where CBD is one ingredient that we've combined with other plants and herbs with healing properties. And it's a great way to reward the community to know that we can offer a product that is safe, lab-tested, and great quality. And that's what we're bringing to market later this month.
What does the community want? What are you hearing from this particular community? What are they using CBD for?
Anxiety, pain management, sleep, which would fall inside of anxiety. It's very similar to what you're seeing trend-wise with the broader community. Certainly through COVID-19, we've seen those spikes in anxiety and sleep, and also people looking to religion, looking to faith to get through this.
Sure. And how about in terms of gender? Does it cut across gender, or are you seeing, are men more interested in it than women, or are women more interested in it in terms of like sleep and stress?
Slightly more women. And I think it's, we have an audience segment we call the Chief Medical Officer Mom, the C-Mom, mm-hmm. which is, the individual in the household that is making decisions for health and wellness for the family and looking for natural alternatives. And that tends to be a big audience for us.
And obviously Christianity is not a monolith, and various sects have come out for or against cannabis. Actually, in my book, I have a character in the book who's actually an elder in the Church of LDS, who is a very prominent advocate for medical cannabis in Arizona, and an unlikely advocate because he's a former Reagan-appointed U.S. prosecutor. I'm just curious, how does this cut across different facets of the faith? Are the Baptists more open than Episcopalians? What are you hearing? And I guess where do you see it going?
The discussion around God's greenery is very much around hemp-derived CBD. So we don't get into a discussion around medical cannabis, or THC, pro or against. Mm-hmm. Being very specific around that audience. I don't see yet, and it's early days, but I haven't seen that the scale is being tipped one way or another with a particular religion or belief. Mm-hmm. It goes broadly. I can't even say that there's anyone that has full out rejection for us at this point. So early days.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I'm asking is, it's true that the people are still starting to understand the difference between hemp-derived CBD and then the whole THC and, other types of cannabis conversation, right? So, but I was curious because as many people, in the industry will talk about CBD, the molecule, just the molecule itself, as a jumping off point for people to get comfortable with legalization in general of all cannabinoids. So that's why I was just curious, kind of what you're hearing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's fair. It's interesting. Our partner that is manufacturing our products for us happens to be Christian. His company is not Christian, but he is a big believer in the power of hemp. And he's part of a large congregation in Florida. I think he has 25,000 people in his church. And I said, what's the reaction been? Do you have, with your company? He said, utter fascination. He actually leads groups to teach them more about hemp and the potential benefits to their health. Zero rejection whatsoever.
And I didn't ask you, can you talk a little about your own faith and your own journey and like the way you were brought up and how that comes into your business and the business you're about to launch, the actual product?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I was raised in a Christian household in Canada, Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And so faith has always been, was a part of my upbringing and certainly my system of judgment, as it were. It's a big part of my family. My mother-in-law is an Episcopalian priest. She's also a Union analyst. I have born-again Christians in my family. And it's sort of, so we're kind of a melting pot of different faith, and also a lot of agnostic as well. So for me, it's all about building something that's authentic. And when I say that, it's making sure that I create a team around me that is being authentic and true to their own experiences, in this case with CBD. My editor-in-chief, a woman named Natalie Gillespie, who just started researching CBD as a potential ingredient to help a daughter that she has with seizures. So when she started and we launched the platform, she was going through her own journey of discovery. So very authentically brought the audience along with her as she had to come to terms with, could this be something that you know, could be integrated in their lives in some way? Where was her relationship with God in making that decision? And, you know, how she came out the other end. I mean, it's fantastic. I love it. I love it. You know, that you can have this true voice bringing the audience along.
What do you think the attraction is? I mean, obviously, you know, she was looking for a specific solution, but in general, in your communities, why are people curious about it? What are the reasons that they're turning to CBD? And we know we talked about the specific, ailments or issues they're trying to solve from a health point of view, but what is the attraction to it? Is it that it's natural? Can you talk about that? And why does it fit into a Christian way of life?
People will often reference various passages from the Bible that God created, everything on earth for mankind. So the fact that it is natural is obviously a huge appeal. And particularly today, when you think about, outside of COVID-19, but even the opioid crisis and that beyond even Christians, how that has, for a large consumer base, there's distrust around big pharma and institutions and what are they pushing on us. So I think that's a huge part of the appeal. In our case, it's also then, discovering other plants and herbs, like basil, like chamomile, that we're introducing into the formulations to provide benefit.
What would you like to see coming out of the FDA, and what do you think consumers should know as we sort of await some of those guidelines? I mean, at this point, it is a little bit of the Wild West right now, and consumers really are kind of in the dark about these products and what's snake oil, what's real, how much to take, all the things you were mentioning that people are asking in the community. So what's your advice, and what guidance would you like to see from the FDA? What do you see ahead?
So one thing I think is interesting, when you look at where CBD was born, it came from these passionate individuals that had discovered they were building these little businesses. It wasn't, a major multinational that wandered in and decided CBD should be a thing. I think that's very special and important. However, consumer safety is first and foremost. And being unregulated, and, we know from our own testing of third-party products that we're finding things in there that shouldn't be there, whether it be, high levels of THC to other contaminants. Mm-hmm. So consumers need to do their research on the product, look at the lab test, look at consumer feedback about those products, and make sure that you're making a good decision. Don't do it just based on price. Price is, or even potency, quite frankly. It's do the work around who is this company, is this reputable, who are the people behind it, the lab test, and the consumer feedback to make the right decision.
And what about dosing? Do you have any advice on dosing? What are you guys finding is that, again, anecdotal? I feel like a lot of people in the traditional medical world, they're not trained in this. And so even people going to their doctors, they don't really have the education yet to be able to advise patients on this. So what are you hearing, and what do you recommend?
Even with our own medical advisors, there's wildly varying opinions on dosing. It is so specific to the individual and what they find. A general rule of thumb that our medical advisors go with is that if you're new to CBD and trying it out in the form of a tincture or capsule, is somewhere between 5 to 10 milligrams a day to see how your body reacts.
And that's over a couple of weeks, you sort of kind of test and journal and kind of track how you're doing. Is that?
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of,
okay. Yeah. And last question.
And, but it's imperfect. There's no question about it. And I think, again, pulling it back to God's greenery, which is why we're being very specific about introducing other plants and herbs combined with CBD so that there is an entourage effect.
Mm-hmm. So what other things, what other kinds of things are in, what other ingredients do you find are effective for sleep or stress
management? Well, our product, the oil of gladness, which is CBD combined with basil, chocolate, and mint, that is designed for relief. Can cut anxiety. Again, obviously have to be careful with claims, but intentionally it's designed to sort of take away the stress of the day.
I write about this in my book, but you have celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow and very recognizable Hollywood folks talking about Martha Stewart talking about the benefits of CBD. You have the Farm Bill. You have all of these different things that are happening at the same time. And we have the opioid crisis, the people are concerned about big pharma, all these different things happening at the same time really set the stage. And now we have, these huge events going on, the pandemic. We talked earlier about the unrest and racial injustice in our country really coming to the fore and becoming, a very, very robust, very emotional, passionate conversation that people are finally having out in the open. I think people are really looking to faith right now. So, I mean, I can't imagine that you could be launching at a better time in some ways.
It's true. And it's there, and, and because of all of these things happening, it's sad that all of these things are happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. On top of all of that, but it is this is a time that individuals just in general have time to reflect and to think about choices they're making in life and what is life after going to be and how can I take control of that. So if we can arm them and can give them the tools to help them with that, great.
Yeah, it's really kind of an epic reset that we're going through. And I'm with you. I hope that people are using this time to reflect and think about how we can all do things better, and be better and care for each other and be unified and all those things that you hope will come out of all the tragedy that we've seen in recent days and months. So I wish you good health and success, and thank you so much for making the time to speak with me. I think it's really fascinating what you're doing, and I'd love to stay in touch.
Great. No, thank you, and to you too. Congratulations. I mean, what a great time to be a storyteller.
That's it for this episode of The New Chardonnay. If you enjoyed this interview, please subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. And pick up a copy of my new book, The New Chardonnay, wherever you prefer to buy books. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Heather Cabot.